Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. It's Elder Angelique Lawrence coming to you with another edition of Truth Finders. Listen, I need you to call a friend and text a neighbor and let them know that Truth Finders is on the air. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, this is where we dig into the Word of God to find our victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. So let me go grab your pen, your paper, and your Bible as we get into it. Amen. And while you're doing that, I want to remind you that you can always reach out to us on Facebook at Perfecting Love Outreach Ministries. You can send a message through Messenger, or you can just email us at perfectinglovemissions@gmail.com. You can also ask questions or ask for prayer, or just let us know if there's other topics that you want us to talk about. So fellowship with us, Truth Finders, about us all being one, finding truth, amen. So by now you might have your pen and your paper, amen, and let's get to it. Let's start off with the prayer, hallelujah. Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We glorify, magnify, and worship you in the beauty of holiness, Lord God. Truly, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. We thank you for waking us, clothing us in our right mind, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity just to come together and just praise your name, Lord God. We thank you for the word of God that you've given us, Lord God. We thank you that you've given us the keys to the kingdom through the word of God on today, Lord God. So we magnify and worship you in the beauty of holiness. Now, Holy Spirit, we invite you just to come in and have your way. Have your way on today in this study, Lord God. Give us a word straight from heaven, straight from the throne of grace, a word that will heal us, a word that will deliver us, and a word that will set us free. And we know who the Son set free is free indeed on today, Lord God. So, Lord, we exalt you, hallelujah. We magnify you, hallelujah. And we lift up your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all, fellow truth finders, amen. I know it's been a while, amen. But I thank God for his word. I thank God for this opportunity to share everything he gives me, amen, as we share with each other the truth that God gives us, and we know the truth that makes us free, amen. So today, I want to talk about, I was seeing the trailers for Mission Impossible, amen, with Tom Cruise, and it's been a couple of them, amen. It's been at least five of them. And when I sat there and watched it, the first thing that came to mind, I said, Christ at Mission Possible, not Mission Impossible, but Mission Possible, amen. So we're going to go over to Luke. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 37, amen. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 37 and say, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And when I looked at this, when I read this, I thought about that God is amazing. He can do exceedingly abundantly, but all we can ask and think. There's nothing impossible for him. And in this instance in Luke, the angel was talking to Mary when he told him that she would conceive a child, you know, without being touched of a man. She said, well, how is that possible? And God said, no, listen, let me explain something to you. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So today, God said, well, what was Christ's mission? Amen. And what made it so possible? Amen. What was Christ, hallelujah, what was Christ's mission and what made it so possible? Amen. Let's go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 17 and 18. Hallelujah. Matthew, hallelujah, chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 says, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, to heaven and earth pass, one jot of one little tittle shall in no wise pass from the law to all be fulfilled. So the first mission, hallelujah, that Christ came to do was he came to fulfill the law. And see, what we have to understand is this, that when he gave the law to the Jews so they can know what sin was. he came to his own, amen, and said, this is what God thinks. This is what holiness looks like. This is what God wants from you. Because before that, no one knew. But he said, now I've come to fulfill all those laws, all the things that I told you to do, all those rituals that I told you to do. You don't have to do those anymore because I came to fulfill all of those laws. It's over 600 laws in the Old Testament. But Jesus said, just me. I came, one mission I came to do was to fulfill all those laws, all those things that you couldn't do anyway. No matter how hard you tried, you just couldn't do it because you had no help. Hallelujah. Flesh can never line up with God. The things that you do, you're not what you do. Everything you do can never line up with God because God is a holy God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a holy God. He gave them a law. Hallelujah. So they could know what they should be doing. Amen. That they could know that they were in sin, but there was no way for them to fulfill it. But Christ said, but it's a way for me to fulfill it. Amen. Because in me, all things are possible. So I came so you don't have to have that burden of trying. Hallelujah. You don't have to have that burden of trying to fulfill the law. I did all of that for you. Amen. And that was the first mission, hallelujah, that Christ fulfilled when he came here for us. Amen. Let's go over to Matthew. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 and 13. And it says, but when Jesus heard that he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy, not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The second mission that Christ came to fulfill on earth was he came to the sinners who were seeking a physician. Those people who wanted to serve God, those sons who wanted to love on God, but didn't know how and just couldn't do it. But he said, hallelujah, I came for those looking for a physician. I came to those, they know they're sick. They know they need a healing. They know they need deliverance. They know they need help. And he said, for those of you who are weary and laden, I came for you. I came to fulfill. I came to heal you in those areas that you're wounded. I came to heal you in those areas, your body, mind, and soul, that you're just ravaged in. But he said, I am a good physician. I came to heal every part of your mind. You can be made whole. The hallelujah, the hallelujah. That's what Christ is saying. You can be made whole. I came to make you whole. Those areas, hallelujah, that you're suffering in, those areas where you know, hallelujah, you have a yearning, hallelujah, you have a yearning for those things of God. He said, that's who I came for. That's the second mission he came to fulfill. He came to heal those who are looking for a physician, who are looking for a way out, who are looking for more, hallelujah, looking for those things of God, hallelujah. They're over this world. They're over the things of this world because they know it's just not what God has for them. They have a longing and a thirsting after God. And so he came to those. If you seek him, if you're looking to be healed, if you understand that you need help, he's there to help you. Amen. That's the second, hallelujah. That's the second mission that he came, hallelujah, to give us. Amen. Number three, let's look at Matthew 10 and 34. Flip over for my newest saints. Amen. Just maybe one or two pages over. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 34. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, saints. Amen. I say this all the time. Matthew 10 and 34 says, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Sometimes we always hear people say Jesus came to bring peace on earth, goodwill to men, and that he did do. But when Jesus came, we have to understand the history behind mankind and what Adam did, truly did in, hallelujah, he truly did in the garden. God had created us in his likeness and image and put us in a garden and gave us dominion over every single thing on this earth. He made this for us. He made that for man, amen. And when Adam sinned, he gave up all dominion, authority, everything that God had made for him, amen. But now, hallelujah, Jesus came back to restore us to that place of dominion. He came up to, hallelujah, to restore us back to that place of authority, amen. And so he said, you're in the sin-sick world because Adam gave up his authority. He gave up his right to rule, hallelujah, and handed it over to the devil. He handed it over to the adversary, amen. But now Jesus said, wait, I didn't come to give you peace. I came to give you a weapon to fight back against the adversary. Amen. You know, now, hallelujah, since Adam gave over our authority, our dominion, our power, the Bible talks about how the devil is the prince of the air. This is his sin-sick world, and it's dying. Amen. And so now we're here in the sin-sick world, and everything that he does affected us. But now Jesus said, wait, hold up. You had no way to fight back, but I came to give you power back. I came to give you authority back. How do we get that power? How do we get that authority? Through the word of God. When he talks about here in Matthew chapter 34, he said, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came to send you, not to send you peace, but a sword. When we look at John chapter 1, verse 1, it said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so when we look even in Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us that the word of God is a sword. And so now Jesus is saying to us, I gave you the word of God so you could fight against the adversary. Those things that you had no power to fight over before I came to give it to you. Now you can say, like he showed us in the Gospels, amen, whenever the adversary tried to bring oppression on you, whenever the adversary tries to bring sickness on you, and whenever the adversary tries to spread confusion, doubt, and unbelief, now you have a weapon. It's the word of God. You know, you could say, oh, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You could say, well, he's saying that, well, God ain't going to heal. You could say, by his stripes I am healed, according to Isaiah, amen. Now when he come in and he try to put anxiety on you, or he try to put fear on you, you could say, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And when you speak the word of God, the adversary has to flee because it's God, amen. There's nothing more powerful than the word of God. God's word defeats the adversary, amen, because it's God him. Jesus was the word in the flesh, and he went back, but he left us this word to fight the adversary. And so that's why it's always so important when I say people learn the word of God. That's your power. You know, the world says sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But the spiritual realm, the things of God, is just the opposite. It's the words, hallelujah, that fight the adversary. When you think about the whole heaven and earth was created with just words. God just said, let there be, and boom, there was. And so God's power is in his word. And so Jesus came to give us his word so we can fight back. We can talk back to the adversary. We know what to say, and he will flee. He said, resist the devil, he will flee. He said, now we're not ignorant to the devices of Satan now. We have power and authority through the word of God. Hallelujah. Through the word of God. To be able to fight back, amen, because this is truth, and truth makes us free. And so when you're in a place and you say, well, Lord, I don't understand. I'm confused. God will say, oh, no, you're not, I'm not the author of confusion, but of peace. You speak God's word in every situation, in every circumstance, and watch the adversary flee out of your atmosphere every single time. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to give you the word of God so you can fight that adversary. Now it's a fair fight. You know, at first you had nothing to fight back with. The adversary just wraps your life, and you had nowhere fighting back. But now you can say it is written. And Jesus showed us that when he was in the wilderness, every time the adversary tried to come, he said, no, it is written. It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It is written. And that's the same sword that Jesus came to give you. And that was one of the third parts of the mission that Jesus came to give to you. Amen. The fourth, let's look at Matthew. I hope you're getting this. I hope I'm not going too fast. And, you know, as usual, you can always bring comments or questions and send it to me. And I'm going to put the scriptures out on there so you can see them and follow along. Amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. Matthew chapter 12, verse 18 says, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And so the fourth mission that Jesus completed was justice to the nations. I say this all the time. God is a God of equity, justice, and judgment. Amen. No one's getting away with God will not be mocked. Whatever man sowed, that he will reap. You don't have to worry about injustice going forth because God is going to take care of that. And so he says here in 18, Jesus came, I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are those who don't know God, the non-Jews, amen, that we were before we believed. And now that we believe, we're part of the family of God. We're engrafted in. And so when we look at what Jesus came, now there's justice. That's why he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. He didn't say revenge is mine. He said vengeance. And so when God comes, he makes every crooked place straight and every rough place smooth. You don't have to worry about fighting back. You don't have to worry about getting revenge. What Jesus came to do, he came to bring us justice. So when things are not right, when things look like the world, because the world, it's a sin sick world, and the devil's going to do what he does, amen. But God said, no, I brought justice. I brought order. I bring, hallelujah, when there's discord, I bring order, amen. And so Jesus gave us, when he came, when the Holy Spirit came us, now we have the power to speak justice. When there's no justice, we don't have to wave our finger or shake our head and say that's awful. No, we have the power through Jesus Christ to say, oh, no, the devil is a lie. You will not kill another one of our kids. We're going to bind up school shootings, amen. We're going to, those people who are being unjustly mistreated, amen, we're going to speak the word of God over their atmosphere. We're going to speak over Ukraine. And, you know, we're going to speak over those areas of this just injustice. That's what Jesus came to give us. We have the power to speak justice into the atmosphere. We have the power to speak wrongs, sweep right into wrongs, amen. And you have to know Jesus gave you that power. And when it's not right, when people are like, it's not fair. Life is not fair, but God is just. And you have to know that. And you have to know that if you speak the word of God, you call on the name of Jesus, he's going to bring order to disorder and justice where there is no justice, amen. And so that was one of the fourth things that mission that Jesus completed when he came on earth. Amen. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Let's get over there. And we're in Matthew the whole time. So for my newer saints, it should be easier to keep up with. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to look at verse 11. And it says in verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. The biggest thing God came to do, he came to save us, which were lost. Amen. A lot of times we didn't understand that we were lost. And like my analogy from Adam, you know, God created us to be, that he would just be our God and we'd be his people. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to sup with us. He wanted to sit in the cool of the garden with us and fellowship with us and we'd be his people. Amen. But when Adam gave up our dominion, we lost that ability. Because a holy God can't be in the presence of an unholy flesh, amen, unholy people. So he could not commune with us. He could not, we were his children that he could not even talk to, amen. But Jesus came and said, you were lost. You didn't know who you are. You're in this sin-sick world. You think this is all it is. He said, but there's a better place for you. You're a royal priest. You're heir to the throne of grace. You're a kid's king. You're a king's kid, amen. And so Jesus came to tell you who you were. He came and said, no, you're not lost. You're not just aimlessly. He said, but I created you with purpose and in my image and my likeness. And Jesus came and said, look, this is who you are. You're not lost, but you're fine. You're not a bastard, amen, but you're loved, amen. And that's the biggest thing we have to see. Jesus came to save us. You're like, what do you need to save the lost? I'm not lost. No, you are lost because you're in this sin-sick world. That's not what God created you to be. He created you to be with him. He created you to be to sup with him. He created you to be a spiritual being, amen, an immortal spiritual being. But you, when Adam gave up our dominion, hallelujah, now we died. Every single one of us died, and we all went to hell. And we had no choice. We had no choice because Adam had gave up everything that God had created for us. But now Jesus said, now you have a choice. You can choose to go with your Father and live eternal, or you can choose to go to hell. But at least you have the choice. You have the choice. Hallelujah. You make up your mind where you want to go. Because he said in John 3:16, you know, he came to those who believe, but then in 17, he turns around and says, but if you don't believe, you're condemned already, but it's your choice. You can believe, hallelujah, and go to heaven and spend eternal life with your Father, or you cannot believe and go to hell. But now you have the choice. So now Jesus came to give you that power, the power to make a choice. Is am I going to live or am I going to die? Amen. So that was his fifth part of his mission possible that Christ came. Let's flip over to Matthew 20 and 28. Flip over, a couple of pages over, amen. 20 and 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. The sixth mission of what Jesus came to do, to serve and give his life for a ransom. He came to give his life for us. You know, people say, oh, God so loved the world, but we have to understand what that means. God so loved the world that Jesus came and died that we may live. You know, our bishop always says something that's powerful. He said, we're the only one that serves a God that died for us. All these false gods ask people to kill themselves for him. But for us, we serve the true and living God. And he said, no, I love you so much. I'm going to die. I'm going to serve you. And then when you reject me, I'm going to die for you despite of you. Amen. Well, you don't even deserve it. I'm going to die and take all your sins, all those bad things you did. I'm going to take them on me because I love you that much. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give my life for you. We know there can no be repentance for sin without the shedding of blood according to the Old Testament. That's why Jesus said he became to fulfill the law. And so here he said, look, I'm going to die for everything you did because I love you so much because my Father is just longing to be back with you. He's longing to be in your presence because he created you, amen? And so what I'm going to do as a good son, I'm going to give my entire life for you, all your guilt, all your shame, all your condemnation, all those bad things that you did, I'm just going to take them on for you. Who wouldn't serve a God like that, amen? He said, listen, I'm not going to serve you and help you and heal you and deliver you, but then all that stuff you did, I'm just going to take it on myself. And I'm going to pay the price for you. And that's what Jesus came to do. That was the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate, ultimate sacrifice. You know, we would say we would die for our kids, but would you die for somebody who's not doing you right? Would you die for somebody who don't believe in you? Would you die for someone who's saying crucify you? Well, who did you wrong, amen? But this Jesus, he said, I got to do this because my Father loves them so much that he's longing for them. And I want to be about my Father's business and return his children back to him. And I have to do that. And that was Jesus' mission. So how do we benefit from that mission that Jesus came? How do we benefit? Let's look at Mark 9 and 23. St. Mark chapter 9, let's look at verse 23, amen. And it says this, Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. All Jesus asks you to do is believe. That's all you have to do. All those missions, all those things Jesus came to give us, all you have to do is believe. Let's look at Mark 5 and 36. Let's turn back over to Mark 5 and 36. Mark 5 and 36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the rulers of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. All you have to do is believe, and all those benefits, all those things that Jesus came to fulfill, you can have them. You can walk in them. You can walk in that power and authority. You can get that healing that you're seeking. You can see that equity, justice, and judgment going forth in your life. You, all those areas where you feel confused and discombobulated can be straightened out. You can have what he, hallelujah, well, hallelujah, where the crooked places are being made straight and the rough places being made smooth. You can have all of that. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe it. You don't have to die again. You don't have to do any of all the rough stuff. Jesus already did it. He came and died and fulfilled the law and all those things. And all I'm asking for you is to believe. If you can believe, he said nothing's impossible. That's why he said Christ had mission possible. He did it. Only thing you have to do to get it is to simply believe. Let me show you how you do this. Let's look at Romans. Let's go over to Romans. Romans, and we're going to look at chapter 10, verse 9. For my seasoned saints, you know where I'm going, amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Let me get over there, amen. 10 and 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in their heart that God has raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's how you get it. It's not hard. It's not even complicated. It's not even ritual or dutiful. He said, just believe. Just confess with your mouth. Say, I believe with my mouth, and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and all the stuff he just did for mission. He did it for me. You're saved. You're going to reap the benefits. Hallelujah. You're going to reap the benefits of everything he came and sacrificed for you. Now you can walk in victory and joy and peace and hallelujah. And you'll see the fullness of God operate in your life. But all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe. It didn't say you had to learn 100 scriptures. It didn't say that you had to go to church 5 times a week. It said all you have to do is believe it, and believe it wholeheartedly, and embrace it, and believe everything Jesus did. You have to understand that he's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God that came to save us and do these things that God wanted him to do. That's all you have to do is believe. Now, let me tell you, let me end here that you can know what belief does, because sometimes people think it's a small thing, but it's a big thing. Belief will save your life. Belief can change your life. Belief can change the world. Amen. How do we know this? Let's look at Ephesians 3 and 20. I want you to get over to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in. Now when we believe, amen, we ask for his Holy Spirit, which is the power of God. And the same, very same power that raised Jesus from the dead, you will have that power in you when you believe. You ask for the Holy Spirit. You ask for God's power. And now you believe. You mix the power with your belief, amen. And now you're doing exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Now you have the ability to go and declare and decree. Now you have the ability to take the word of God and chop the adversary down. Now you have the ability, amen, to go in and go out in victory in every area of your life, amen. But you just have to believe. And so we have to understand that the mission that Christ came was simply for us to believe in everything he did. We don't have to do anything. He's not asking more from us that he didn't do himself. He believed in the Father wholeheartedly. And now he's saying, believe in me wholeheartedly, and you everything that I do, you can do. He said at the end of almost each and every gospel, greater works you're going to do. Everything I did, my mission was to give you the keys to the kingdom of God. And now you have the keys as long as you believe in me. And you can do everything. You can do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask and think according to the Holy Spirit that's working in us. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all, fellow truth finders. I hope that helped you. Amen. I hope you take the word of God in and you believe on it and use it for the glory of God. Amen. I thank you all for listening. And listen, I need you to remember this. It's the truth that makes you free. God bless you and have an awesome day.